I got a special guest with me today. Got my little brother, Terrell, to get a bucket Stoglin. What's going on, bro, man? I appreciate you taking time out, your day to join Go Terps with Travis Garrison on the Field of 68 Networks. I appreciate you taking time out. I think you're overseas right now, right?
Yes, I'm actually competing in the African NBA Cup right now. Oh, okay. So my team is from Morocco. We're named Saleh. So they got us out here in Rwanda, man. We're preparing for that.
Oh, yeah? Sure, that's what's up, man. That's what's up, man. How's that going? How long have you been out there for?
I've been out here for a month. Well, in Morocco for a month, and we just traveled out here. We've been here for 2 days. So they have us in quarantine. We're not even allowed to leave the room. You know, we're just sitting here for 3 days before we can even practice.
Man, that's crazy, man. That's crazy. I was wondering how overseas life has been, especially with COVID going on, man. How that whole transition has been, man. Because obviously you know how it was before pre-COVID, but how it is now, especially traveling those Middle Eastern countries and things like that over in Africa and stuff like that, man.
Yeah. It's been challenging, just like everything else in life, you know. It's been placed on hold. Even with this situation, like, we're quarantining for 4 days. We can't even talk to our team or leave the room. You know what I mean? So it's very different. You know, it low-key feels like prison. You know what I'm saying?
Man,
like,
that's crazy.
I'm on C block. You know what I'm saying?
Man, that's crazy, man. That's crazy. But, I mean you still playing, though, man. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blessing. I definitely don't take it for granted. You know, it's my ninth year. You know what I mean? And I still feel young. You know what I mean? I'm just happy to be here and continue to do what I do.
Man, you are young, man. What you mean you feel young? You are young, man. hey, were you able to check out any of the Maryland team this year? Or even last year?
The Maryland team? Oh, man, dude. You know, I was dealing with, you know, family and dealing with things like that. And I rarely watch college basketball. You know what I mean? So I really didn't get to watch. But the fans were hitting me up and letting me know they did well. They went to the tournament. I actually watched the tournament game.
Okay, I did watch.
You know, but other than that, you know, I've been out the loop.
Yeah. What you think of the tournament game?
I mean, you know, God bless them. You know, that's it. Yeah. God bless them.
Yeah. Man. It was they definitely, man, you know, they made their run. You know, obviously they was on the bubble getting in, man, and they finally, you know, made that run and was able to get in the tourney. And you know, they played well the first game, then the you know, obviously the second, man, when they played them boys, it was tough.
Well, you know, I think you know, too, because you grew up in a different generation. Basketball is different right now.
Right.
And I'll be honest, man, I'm not impressed by a lot of what I see. I'm going to be real with it.
Right.
You know, brothers don't play with that heart that we grew up playing with, you know, and it's just a different game.
Right.
You know, so I'm not really impressed with too much of what I see, period.
Right. Now, hey, you speaking the truth, man. You speaking how you feel, man. Hey, question for you, though. You're from Arizona, right? From Arizona, right? From Arizona. Mm-hmm. So what made you choose to go to Maryland?
The tradition. You know what I'm saying? So I'm from Arizona, so I'm used to the University of Arizona. They had a tradition with Lou Olsen. And Coach Gary Williams reminded me of Coach Lou Olsen, but he had a bigger name.
Right.
And the ACC is the best conference. You know, you play against Duke and North Carolina, they in your conference.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
So, like, get in, and it was less politics with Coach Gary Williams. Let's be straight. With Coach Gary Williams, it was less politics,
right?
And it was more, if you put it out there, you put the work in, you will play. It don't matter what star you are, you know, and none of that. You know, he was about the heart and the effort,
right?
You know, I like the warrior spirit,
right?
You know, so that was it. Plus, you know, they showed me much love. Like, they were going to my math classes and making sure I was on time and all that stuff in high school. So I was like, yo, they real with it.
Right. Now that's what's up, man. What other schools would you consider? Like, if you didn't go to Maryland, where were you gonna go? Like, what other school?
I was considering UCLA. What else was I considering? I was considering UCLA, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all the Pac-12 teams were recruiting me, so I was considering all of them.
Right.
You know, just to stay on the West Coast and stay close to family.
Right.
And let me see. I'm still here.
Yeah,
and I can't really remember. I was going with the teams and the schools that showed me and my family the most love.
Right.
You know, that's really what it was.
Okay, you okay, know? Okay. Yeah. So when you made that transition, man, to come to Maryland, man, and you got on campus, man, what was that feeling like? What was that transition like? Once you stepped on the campus, like, you know, because like I said, you from Arizona, man, so you come to Maryland, man. It's, you know, DC is right there. So what was that transition like for you off the court and on the court?
Oh man, it was lovely. You know, College Park is one of a kind. You know, the students were amazing, you know, and the students be fans. So they right. treat you so well. You know, right. The family orientation that we had at the University of Maryland was amazing. You know, from the academic advisor to the head coach, like we were family. Right. You know what I'm saying? And then my teammates were my brothers. So I enjoyed it, man. I still have a relationship with my teammates. So like, we good. I enjoyed it. You know, that's the best way I can describe it on here. You feel
right.
me?
Right. Now I get it, man, for sure, man. I know, like I said, man, you know, me being from Maryland, then, you know, I used to go up to Maryland sometimes before I even went there and just, you know, to hang with this before they even won the championship. So I'm hanging with all those those guys, the Steve Blakes and the Mutons and Drew Nicholas, seeing those guys, man, but just also seeing the work that they put in to even get to that level, man, just the mindset that they had, you know what I mean, the focus that they had, the dedication that they had, standing in the gym late, man, just seeing that whole process take place. So when they won the championship, it wasn't surprising to me, you know what I mean, because I knew the work they put in. I used to go up to open gym and I see when the lights go off, how Steve Blake is staying there, how back in the days when Juan used to shoot in there with no lights on, you know what I mean? I used to see that whole process take place, man. So even when I was up there as a freshman, you know, seeing how Steve Blake and Drew Nicholas used to come in late nights and get the work in, you know what I mean? So right. just seeing that whole process, man, and seeing what they did to get to where they was at in regards to the championship and just had that leadership, you know?
You know what? You know, that's a great point that you made. And you were fortunate in that case where you had legends, you know what I'm saying, to look up to and watch. You know, I didn't really, you know, no disrespect, but I didn't have Steve Blake and Steve Francis and them in the gym when I was there, you feel me? Will say that I kept that tradition. I was in there with the lights off. I was in there putting in work because when I got there, I had no respect. I'm from Arizona. No one cared, you know. They all about the East Coast, so they didn't know too much about me.
Right.
So, you know, that makes me feel better about myself because that was me. You feel me?
Right.
You know, So what
was it like for you in regards to your preparation? You know, like you said, I know you said you was in the gym late at night. What was your schedule like? You know, obviously y'all had practice. I'm not sure how, I know Coach Williams, you know, I don't know if he kept the same schedule, but we had practice around 3:45 to about 5-ish, you know what I mean? We didn't really do the early morning workouts unless we got in trouble, you know, and we had to run steps and something like that. But other than that, we had our schedule was, you know, 3:45 to 5, and then we go to study hall. So what was your schedule like after practice or before practice or, you know, in regards to working out and training and preparing for the season or game?
Well, man, first off, I did a lot of that running the stairs in the stadiums. I did a lot of that in the mornings. You know what I'm saying? Coach had me up in there, so I was one of them too. So my schedule was run in the morning, you know, whatever, do the stairs in the morning, go to class. And then they set me up real nicely where a couple of my classes were just massages. Where I was just going just getting massages and getting graded for that. You feel me?
Right.
And then practice was always in the evening. You know, I think Coach Williams, he was getting older when I came. So he was more chill.
Right.
You know, so I think that played a lot of part in it. You know, we had evening practices, which was great.
Right.
You know.
So, was you getting in the gym late at night? I know you said you was in the gym late at night, man. And the luxury of that is, you know, obviously, you know, we tell the managers what time we get up in the gym and they make sure the ball's out for us. And all we got to do is go in there and swipe that card and go through the back door and we in the gym. And it's nothing like it, man, because, you know, there was nice out going in the gym, man. It's just quiet. And you around out, it was a Comcast Center at the time, but you're at the Xfinity Center and it's like quiet, but you're seeing all the seats around the whole arena, man. But it's empty. So you kind of like in the zone, but you also can imagine yourself if it was game time and you know what I mean? So it was a great feeling, man. That late night work is quiet in there, nobody in there, you know?
Yeah. Same, you know, and I still call it Comcast Center because in my mind, it's still Comcast Center. You feel me?
Right.
And I did exactly what you did. I had that key. I swipe it up. And the thing is, I was real cool with the ball managers those were my guys. So anytime I hit them up, anytime at night, which was literally around like 3:30 every night, or during the morning, 3:30 in the morning, I was in there. You feel me? And I was imagining myself, you know, playing in front of everybody. I feel like a kid again.
Right.
You know, when you want 3-2-1, you get that last shot. I was, man, everything that I became sophomore year was because I was imagining it when no one else was there.
Right.
You feel me? You know, so yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, man. So because I remember the first time me meeting you was when we were pros at the time, you know, he's over in Greece, you know, but before that, I wasn't really watching Merlin that much. So I didn't really know too much about you. But I heard about you and how you was killing, and I started seeing the videos and seeing how you were just on a mission. So what was it like, man? Like you said, we talked about, you know, playing the ACC, playing against those North Carolina, those Dukes. And I know how you play, and I know how you get when it's them big games, you know what I mean? So what was it like for you? Like, what was your best moments in regards to Merlin and like your best experiences in regards to like a game that you could think of? Like, man, I was in the zone. That was like one of the best experiences ever. Like, what was that for you?
Okay. First of all, glory to God. You know what I'm saying? Because without him, I couldn't have done none of that, even to this day, you know? Right. So I want to make that known. Second of all, the biggest game for me was my breakout game freshman year when we played North Carolina. You know, I had 30 points as a freshman, and then I went on that, like, I had, like, nothing less than 25. I kept going on that streak. It was we played North Carolina. I was a freshman. I gave them 28, and then we came and played against North Carolina State, and they were retiring Gravis Vasquez. That's G-Money. You know what I'm saying? They were retiring his jersey. You know, and he came to me while he was retiring jersey. He was like, I told you, this is my school. You know, and he told me that. And I went out, had 25 and 9 assists. You feel me? And I stole that day from him. You feel me? Yeah. And that was one of my days and one of the games where I was like, all right, you know, you real. When I look in the mirror and go to sleep, like, okay, you real. Let's go.
Right.
You know, and I ain't looked back since after that. Those two games, I ain't looked back.
Yeah, you said Grievous came to you and said this is my school.
Yeah, man, you know, G, you know, people always talk about, you know, what a great guy he is, and he is a great guy, but you know, people ain't real at the same time. Like, to be a great basketball player, you gotta be a dog, man. You gotta
right.
you know, have ultimate confidence in yourself. Yeah. And that's what he had that. People don't talk about that too often because they wanna be whatever. I don't know what they wanna be, but I'm gonna be real with it. You know, they retired his jersey. You know, he looked at me. The whole team was like shaking his hand and all that stuff. And he knew me. You feel me? Yeah. He looked at me and was like, I told you, it's my school. And I was like, I looked at that brother like, oh, okay. You know, and I went in the zone.
Yeah, that's how Grievous is, man. But like you said, man, it takes that to be a special kind of player. You know what I mean? Like, he's been like that since I know him, even through high school, and that's that Venezuela type, that attitude, man. Just that's just how he is, in regards to how he played, and that's why he had that type of career he had, and was able to go to the league. You know, I was telling people before that, man. I was like, man, yeah, man, Grievous gonna make it, bro, because of his work ethic. Like, he works hard. Yeah. Like, he works his butt off. You know what I'm saying? So that's funny, man. But yeah, man. So you saying that breakout game in North Carolina, then your sophomore year was just pretty much you, like, man, you just in the zone. You was just like, how was that sophomore year for you?
Well, those two times was freshman year. So those were two of my freshman year games. I had like a streak, like 5 or 6 games where I had scored none less than 25, and it was the end of the year. Mm-hmm. That's what took me in that momentum for a sophomore year.
Right.
So sophomore year, I was just in the zone every game, bro. I was hungry, you know.
Right.
You know, I can't even call out a game where I was just like, I was just hungry every game.
Right, you know. Right. So when you were there, so how was it? What was your experience like playing for G Dub, man? Like, you know, obviously everybody has their different experiences, man. And you know, I can talk back to the older cats, man. When G Dub was a little younger, you know, but I know when I played for him, he still was fiery, but he was getting up there. And then your age, you're younger than me, so he probably. I just want to know, like, what was that experience like for you? I know you say he's more mild at that time, but what was that experience like for you in regards to you playing for him and how y'all relationship was?
Man, he was great. You know what I'm saying? His nickname for me was Little Shit. You know what I'm saying? he was always on my head. You know, Coach Williams was like the reason why I went to Maryland. And when I was there, you know, I wish he would have stayed. I would have stayed all 4 years. And me and him talked about it after I left my sophomore year. You know, we had a very private talk about that, you know. And I feel like if he would have stayed, you know, I would have stayed. And a lot of things would have been done.
Right.
You know, I didn't want him to leave, and I didn't want who came to come. I'll be real with you, because I came for one coach. I didn't come for this.
Right.
You know, so, as a matter of fact, Turgeon, he recruited me. He gave me a scholarship at Texas A&M, and I turned that down like that.
Right.
You know, so when he came to Maryland, the first thing he told me was, I got you. Wow. You know what I mean? And so, you know, to stay on topic, you know, Coach Gary Williams was probably one of the best coaches that I've ever played with or played for. I learned a lot from him. Mm-hmm. You know, I loved his warrior spirit, and I still attack every game as if he's coaching me because he instills something in his players that made them play their best.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
You know that. Like, yeah, he made you want to get out there and go ahead and get it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, I mean, I give him credit for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, man. Definitely, man. Like you said, man, just his attitude. He's a player's coach. You know what I mean? Being a former player, but still had he was a guard. So he obviously relates to you guys a lot too.
Right.
And then he likes those dudes to go out there and like go get it, had that dog mentality, because that's how he is. You know what I mean? So when another player is like that, he's like, man, go ahead and get it. Like that is more relatable for him. Y'all see more eye to eye because of how he is. So if he has another point guard that's like that, it's like head to head. You know what I mean? So and then like his intensity, like you said, you have to match that. So you don't want your intensity to be lower than his, and he's not even playing. But he's fired up on the sideline because he can't play no more. So he wish he was out there, but he's going off to your energy. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like
you hit it. You hit
So it's like man, like if you don't meet his intensity, man, there's been times of games that I'm playing. And like we going, like I'm playing well, and he don't like my attitude because I ain't too fired up. You know what I mean? Because sometimes he's just in chill mode, and he ain't like that. He like, man, like wake up, like you know what I mean? Like, wake up. Yeah. But I be chilling. You know, because you know, I played for my high school coach. He was more chilled and mild. You know, he went about the talking and talking trash and stuff like that. Because it was a point in time I thought I wanted to be that Kevin Garnett. So I'm talking trash all the time. But he ain't like that. He was like, man, just be quiet and let the game talk for itself. But then you go to Maryland with Coach G-Dell. He likes that type of stuff. You know what I mean? But by the time I got to Maryland, I'm more mild now. I'm more chill. And he ain't really like that too much. He wants you fired up. It's a, like you say, we're in the ACC tournament. I mean, now we're in the ACC playing these big games. Like, how can you not be fired up? We got 18,000 people in here. And how can you not be fired up? So, if you don't match his intensity, he wasn't a fan of that. He ain't like that.
I say it like this. I agree with you. I say, you know, Coach Williams wants people who play with their heart.
Right.
When you play with your heart, comes passion.
Right.
So even if you are playing well, if you ain't showing that passion, he like, you ain't playing with your heart. You know, and that's what I got. That's my interpretation of it. You know, some coaches, they ain't got no heart. They about the X's and O's and go play ball. But I can't play for those type dudes.
Right.
You know, because I'm going to be out there, I'm going to be talking, I'm going to be hitting my chest. I'm going to be, because I'm passionate about this.
Right.
So, like, I feel you.
So, all right. So, you say when G-Dub leave, when Coach G-Dub leave, you end up making a decision to leave yourself. And you say you weren't even planning on leaving, but because of G-Dub, once he left, you made the decision just go ahead and leave. Like, so, I mean, was you talking to an agent or was you thinking, like, what was your thought process through that?
It was like this. Coach Turgeon came my sophomore year. So, like, my sophomore year, I didn't play with G-Dub. So when G-Dub left, I did want to leave. But when Turgeon came, he made a lot of promises to a brother. And he did. You know, he put the ball in my hand. He let me score. He let me do, you know, whatever. You know, so I stayed for those promises that he gave me. But I was going to leave, too. I was going to go to UCLA.
Okay.
You know, yeah, that's where I was going to go. But I stayed. You know, and you saw what happened, you know.
Right. So once you make the decision to go, because obviously you left school early, I mean, what was that process like, you know, getting ready for your next transition professionally? What was that process like for you? And, you know, what was your thoughts going through that whole situation?
Man, I mean, I just looked at it as me just being a warrior. You know, when I left Maryland, a lot of lies were told on me. And who's going to listen to the student athlete? They're going to listen to the university. Right. You know, but the university, they're a business, so they're going to cover their own tail.
Right.
You know, so a lot of lies were given to me. A lot of betrayal happened, you know. And so I had to deal with that as a child. I'm 19 years old.
Right.
I'm dealing with the whole state bashing me because they thinking I made poor decisions. In actual reality, I never made those decisions. All I did was play basketball and come home. You know what I'm saying? And that's the honest God truth. My girlfriend lived with me at the time. She'll tell you, too. You know what I mean? I was dealing with a lot of mental battles.
Right.
You know, and then when I was working out for the NBA, I was dealing with a lot of blackballing from Coach Turgeon. You know, I'll say the truth. You know, I heard he was saying a lot of things about me that wasn't true. So I had a lot of times where I was just like, what's going on? Why? Why are people doing this? Why are people lying on me? Why is the media painting a picture of me that's not even true?
Right.
You know, and why is this grown man lying on me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I was going through it. Like,
right.
So my mindset was just like, you know, put your trust in God. Everything happened for a reason. This is right. part of my journey, my story. And take your butt to Greece and go hoop with Trav.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Yeah, man. Let's go ahead and lead on to that in a sense of yeah, man. So when I did, I forgot what year that was, like 2000 and that year, it was like 2013. And yeah. I know my agent contacted me and said I'm going to Greece. And I think what I always used to do, I used to always look on the roster and see who's on there. I knew Alusha, I knew Al, mm-hmm. because yeah. he played at Michigan State and we played mm-hmm. against them. And then I also was with him with the Lakers. We was in the D-League team with them. We was at training camp together there. So I knew okay. him from that. And then I also knew him from, Al played that, man. So I knew Al, and then Mike Creppy. I think Mike was there at the time. He was there. So Mike from Maryland, he was from here. And then I saw you was on that. I said, Merlin Catterson, young dude. Okay. So like I said, because I wasn't following Merlin that much, but obviously I do my research and, you know, ask people around. And then I saw y'all there. So it was like, man, we family. They got Mike, they got Al there, you there. So it was like, and I always was not worried about, but like seeing who go my teammates and who the Americans are when I go play in these different countries. So yeah, that was our first year playing together, man. That was my first time meeting you, man, professionally. That was your first year out.
Hey, I'll tell you what, man, there's nothing better than being around brothers, mm-hmm. you know, and not just brothers, but brothers who know you, come where you're from. I'm from Arizona, but I mean, my people's in Baltimore and D.C. I call y'all my family, you know, y'all right. my family. So being around y'all, we had a great time, man. I learned a lot from y'all, you yeah. know, what to do, what not to do, you know, how to deal with certain situations. And even the Greece situation wasn't the best for all of us, you know, right. but. It was my first year, and I never had a situation any worse, and I'm able to, like, adapt now.
Right, right.
You know, and honestly, that was probably one of my favorite years I had as a pro, man. I was with my brothers, you know.
Right, right,
and
right.
Even then, like, Landon Milbourne and James Gist was there. They was in
Maryland
in Greece too. Yeah. Like, we had a whole mm-hmm. bunch of Maryland family, bro. Like,
right, right.
ACC boys, like, it was cool.
Right, right, you know? Man. Like, and I seen that process, and we had a lot of conversations, you know, about, you know, basketball and then like the whole professional career. Cause like I said, you've been a rookie, you already know too much. But and then in the situation that we were in was not like the norm. It wasn't the norm in regards to the professional life, you know, like in the sense of whether it's getting paid on time or not getting paid at all, or the living arrangements mm-hmm. or things like that, you know.
Right.
Because I played in different situations where, you know, it's a five-star everything, or, you know, the accommodations weren't the greatest, you know, probably still was getting paid well. So it was a lot of different situations I was already in.
Right, right. It's like, I don't cut you off, but like to piggyback on you with that, it's like being a professional athlete playing overseas, it's more of a mental game. Mm-hmm. You're more of a professional in having to adapt to any situation. Right. You know, a lot of people think that it's just like basketball, like the United States, like you go to play basketball. But even in the United States, it's not basketball. When you get to a higher level, and they right. people don't know that. The fans don't know that. They think it's the best players that are in the NBA. And this, yeah. No. There's a lot of politics. There's a lot of business. And you have to be prepared mentally for it. Right. So when I became a professional, I call it a mental game. It's we right. playing chess now. It ain't even right. about playing ball no more. It's about right. what you feel.
Right, me? Right.
So, like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, know? Man. Yeah, man. Definitely, you know. So we played over in Greece together. I think you might stay there longer than that. I end up leaving around April. I think you end up staying. Yeah, you stay longer than I did because around April, I end up going back home, man. I couldn't deal with not getting paid that. Yeah, it was around April.
I left in May.
Oh, yeah. So you left after, yeah. Not getting paid and stuff, man. I was pretty much done with it. Like, especially like me, man, being older and being in situations where, you know, I'm used to getting paid late. I'm cool. And I mean, I'm cool with it, but I knew what it was. I knew I was going to eventually get my money. But, you know, certain places, they just won't go pay you at all. And you're just going to be sitting there and you never going to see that money. So you're playing for free and you're away from your family. And, you know, that whole.
And this got to be said too. Not only do they not pay you on time in certain situations, but they expect you to be professional. It's like you come to practice 10 minutes early. They're like, oh, why aren't you here 30 minutes early?
It's right,
like,
right.
You didn't even pay me. I shouldn't even come.
Right,
you know,
right.
And then they start, you know, and depending on who they are, they might say, oh, this guy has a bad attitude.
Right.
You know,
right,
or this right. guy doesn't do this. And then it's a different mental game, too, with us. Because then it's like, what do I do? So we right. leave.
Right. Yeah. And like you said, man, a lot of people don't really understand the a lot of people want me to write a book about it and stuff, man, about that whole experience. Because a lot of people don't really know, especially if they're not athletes or, you know, never experienced that life. We're in the sense of like, oh, man, you guys get to travel the world. Don't get me wrong. I'm definitely blessed and grateful to do it, you know, just because of basketball. But, you know, I mean, you got to think if you have a family, you're away from your family. Sometimes the living accommodations might not be the greatest. The country might, you might not be in the best country. Right. You might not be getting paid on time. You know, you might get treated in regards to like how the people around that city maybe you living in, how they treating you. Man, a lot of different, like you said, man, it's a mental thing, but a lot of people don't understand it. Like, oh man, you get to travel overseas, get paid tax free. There's a lot that comes with that. You know, like here in the States is different because you're here in the States and you know, you're American and you with other Americans and things like that, but we going overseas and you playing in different countries and different cultures and different language and different mindsets and different everything. And so now it's starting to come out, people start talking about the mental illness and especially now because of COVID, man, like you just said, you can't even see your teammates for 4 days. So it's different now. So it's like, now you got to go overseas, find a different country. The living accommodation might not be the greatest. You can't leave the house. You don't have your family with you.
let me tell you a little story that just happened yesterday. So like, we in Africa, we're not allowed to leave the room, right? Uh-huh. So I had to buy room service. So the dude came, I gave him $100. The dude didn't come back with my change for 2 hours. So obviously, you know, what would you do? I go downstairs to figure out what's going on to talk to the reception. Long story short, I just got out of a meeting with the president of the NBA African League because they said I didn't follow protocol. Next time, just let them keep the $100 and then wait till the morning to talk to the people about it. So that's another thing where I'm just like, I still don't understand that. You know what I mean?
And right, right.
It's like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, right. No, I'm going to go get my money. You know what
right,
I'm saying? Like,
right, right,
you
know? Right, right.
But that's just another situation where it's just like, you got to just, and okay, you're right. You know, get to your room and just be like, I go down in prayer. Lord, you know, be my strength.
Right, right. Know,
the mind games begin.
Right. Of course, man. So like you said, man, it's definitely a different process, man. People, especially now, whether it's in college where they can't play in front of fans and they used to play in front of fans, now they can't play in front of fans and to like traveling overseas, and obviously the money is a little different now because of the whole economy. And you know, now you can't really leave your place, you can't really have a lifestyle like off the court because now you're stuck in the house and you're away from your family. So there's so many different factors now, man. That, like you said, man, it's a game of chess. It's a lot of mental stuff going on now, man. It's a lot of mental game and. Just gotta stay, man. It's
so mental. I had to go get a harp. I call it a harp because I don't play it right. I make a noise, you know what I'm saying? Because hey, I need whatever I can to keep this mental good.
Right.
You feel me?
Right, right. So, like, right, right.
You just gotta adjust. You gotta do whatever you gotta do to keep that peace of mind.
Dang,
you know, and then when you're on the court, then you just let it out. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to let it out. Next game we play, it's a wrap.
When is that next game?
When is that next game? May 15th.
Oh, so y'all play for, so you got some, that's next week. That's next weekend. Next week. Okay.
But still, we have four days in here instead of practicing. We got to sit here. You feel me? I can't even get no shots up, you know, and it makes no sense because we all rode on the same bus here. That's crazy. On the same plane here, but we can't practice.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? They had to sit next to each other in the conference room, everybody listening to the rules and stuff, but we sit next to each other. But we can't go practice.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, man. So after Greece, where do you go? Like, what was your experience like after that? Because obviously, I think I shut it down for about two years after that. So I wasn't playing. But what was your next steps and where did you go and what was your experience after that?
After that, my sophomore year was a roller coaster, bro. I went everywhere. I was in France in the top division. I'll stay there for a little bit until they start playing with money or playing with politics. I left there and I went to the EuroLeague. I went to Poland, played for a team called Zielona Góra. I left there, went to the Ukraine.
I played
left there and went to Italy, you know, and that was my sophomore year. So I played on like five teams my sophomore year. And then I decided to just leave Europe alone because Europe to me was straight slavery.
Right.
Like a lot of players would get on here and talk like Europe is this and that. I'm going to be real with you. Europe was slavery. We was practicing three times a day. They were late on payments. That in itself was not the business for me. You know, I'm putting miles on my body and you're not doing right.
Right.
You know, even the EuroLeague team, it was late on payments. I was like, this is the EuroLeague. How'd that work?
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
And I was talking to James Gibbs. I don't put people business, but I was talking to him. He told me they was late on like 5 months. And he played on a big-time team in the EuroLeague. Five months late, I'm good.
Right.
So what I did, my year after my sophomore year, I came here. I came to Africa in the Middle East. I went to Lebanon, you know, where they treated you like a brother.
Right.
You know, and they appreciate your talent, and they pay you everything you want.
Right.
You know, I made good money over here. You know what I'm saying?
Right, so
I was good, you know.
So after that, you was like, man, you was going to stick to the Middle East. Because, matter of fact, I ended up seeing you when I went to Bahrain in 2015. We played with each other with the Egypt team. Zalamek.
Yeah, I saw you in Dubai.
Right, right. Oh, we played against you.
That's you played against me. We took a picture in Dubai.
Yeah. I remember that, man. We ended up playing against each other that time, man. So that's the next time we met up back in the African tournament. It was
Dubai. We were in Dubai.
Okay.
So everyone knows, like, this is my home now. Like, Dubai, Qatar, Lebanon, Africa. You know, I went to Egypt. I won a championship in Egypt 2 years ago. The first time that they won is 15 years. You know, I went there the first year and we won, you know. Now I'm in Morocco. I'm playing with this Moroccan team, you know, and this is my home now. This is the motherland, and they treat a brother real nice.
Right.
And they appreciate what I do on the court instead of trying to figure out ways to demolish the work that I put in for whatever reason they do it for.
Right.
whatever reason. I'm lost. I don't get
it.
But okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I found a home out here and they love it.
So basically, the rest of your career is going to be in Africa or in the Middle East.
Well, I can't call it, you know, but right now I'm home. You know, my son was actually born in Lebanon, you know, in Biblos. So, like, I'm really out here. Like, I'm out here, you know.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. It's, you know, I tell people, especially as you get older, man, I know once I start getting older, man, my whole thing was, I want to still play and make good money, but I want to be able to have life off the court too. I want to experience this life. You know what I mean? I don't want to just be like, I'm just working. And then after you get off court, you're like, there's nothing. Nah, man. It's, as you get older, you start to appreciate things a little more. You start to like, I know early on, I wasn't really going outside and really touring and visiting and looking at the city and walking around the city and like exploring. But in Turkey, my coach forced me to do it. Every city we went to, he's like, hey, we're going to go for a walk. Hey, Travis, come on, man. I'm tired. I want to go take a nap. He's like, nah, we're going to do it. And I'm glad he did it because now, like, Turkey's like one of my second homes. I love it there. And places, like you said, man, you develop friendships and relationships. And then, I mean, it's something you can't buy. We can do it for free because of basketball.
I say this all the time to the young fellas. They always come to me with, I'm the vet now, dog. You believe that? I'm the vet now. You know what I'm saying? These young fellas, they come to me, yo, Stoven, OG. You know, like, they start asking me questions. And I tell them, you can't put a price on peace.
Right. That's facts.
You know, and I love it out here because you're not a dime a dozen.
Right.
So like in the NBA or in Europe, you're a dime a dozen because everyone wants to go to Europe. It's in their mind. Man.
Right.
I want to go to, okay, all right, do that. Go to Europe. Right. Go do that.
Right.
But over here, we're not a dime a dozen and you live in the hearts of the people.
Right.
You know, you become a legend. You know, what you do on the court is appreciated for years after you do it.
Right.
You're not forgotten.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So like, that's why I'm here. You know, I'm a legend to these people, praise God. And the hard work I put in is appreciated.
Right.
You know.
And I definitely saw that, man. You know, obviously, man, I follow you on social media, but just seeing how the fans embrace you, man, and seeing how people make mixtapes of you and how people send you tapes, even in the country you're not even in no more. I mean, those things, like you said, man, those things you can't buy. Those experiences you can't pay for, man. Like, I tell people all the time, it's bigger than basketball. You know what I mean? I tell people all the time because when I used to travel to different countries, you're going over there, so they're like another American coming. And sometimes, like when I was in Turkey, I was the first American, let alone black, one of the black guys ever to play in that city, to let alone live in that city. So they didn't, only thing they knew about us is what they see on TV. So now they're watching, like, okay, I'm expecting this because that's what I saw on TV. So my whole thing was, I'm going over there, I'm going to change that perception of what they think of me or what they think of, you know, African American. So, you know, That's why I tell people all the time, man, we kind of represent the U.S. when we travel these different countries because they expect them athletes to act a certain way, let alone African-Americans to act a certain way. So I kind of wanted to go over there and change perceptions like that. And people, they would tell me, like, man, I didn't expect this. Oh, man, I was used to this. Oh, man, the last player that was here was acting like this. So I was expecting that when you came. So It's big. I tell people, it's bigger than basketball, man. Like I said,
and to piggyback on that, that again, that's Europe. So Europe, they have that perception of Black people are supposed to act like this. Like I played on teams, even in Turkey too, where they expect me to listen to some type, certain type of music. They didn't know that I like classical music.
Right, you know,
they didn't know that I, you know what I'm saying? But that's Europe. So like when I came out here with my peoples, you know what I'm saying? They let you be you and they don't expect you to be anything because they don't have a perception of who you're supposed to be. They want to know who you are.
Right.
You know, so that's like what I'm talking about with Europe. You know, it was more of like, I didn't like it.
Right.
Straight like that.
I mean, that's the thing, man. It's like you said, man, that you can't pay for peace. Like I tell people all the time, like I've been in a situation where I'm making a lot of money, but I just wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. I've been in a situation where I wasn't happy, man. Like I'm like, basketball's supposed to be fun to me. I mean, I initially started out of fun, even when as a kid, man. I was playing basketball for fun. I never knew I can play in college or possibly make an NBA or play overseas. I didn't think that far ahead. I'm from the neighborhood I'm from. We just go outside and play, and then whatever happens, happens. I didn't know about rankings. I didn't know about none of that stuff until people brought it to my attention. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like even when I made a pro, I was telling my agent, I was like, man, yeah, I'm making good money, but I'm not happy. I'm not happy, man. You know what I mean? I'm not happy. I wanna, you know what I mean? And I didn't have a family at the time, so it was just me. You know what I mean? So the money, I wasn't like I'd rather take less somewhere else as long as I'm happy. You know what I mean? That's always my thing, yeah, man. So
that's it.
Peace of mind, man. So this we gotta talk about this. We talked about basketball. Your dad, man. How's that? I see you a little man, and I tell people all the time, man. You know, when you have kids, that changed the whole perception of your outlook on life, man, whether it's the choices you make or whether it's of how you look at life now. You know what I mean? Like, and I seen you as a dad, man, little man, just the love you have for him and, you know, y'all relationship. And, you know, he's even picking up the basketball and seeing what dad is doing now. And so what's that like being a dad now? And also when you travel and you're not with them, what's that like? How is that, you know, that dealing with that, you know?
Man, being a father has been great. And, you know, I had him here in Lebanon. Oh, hold on. Someone at the door. Can we pause this real quick? I
got to get this food.
Hey, hello. Thank you. God bless you. You have any hot sauce? Hot sauce?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, my bad, Trav. I had to get some food, man.
You good.
Hey, being a father, man, it was great, especially having him out here with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had him out here with me for 3 years, you know, so he was able to travel, and he still talks about times that we had out here, you know, so he's very aware. And I'm just being an extension of the love that God gives us every day.
Right.
I give it to him. It's just an extension, so. Yeah, it's been great, fam. His name is Azir Jeremiah Stogman, you know.
How old is he now? How old is he now, man?
He's five.
I remember he was born, bro.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Jeez. Yeah. Yeah, I remember he was born, man. What time be flying, man?
Man, it do. And I'm happy it's flying, though, with him in regards to him because he's getting smarter and he's more aware of everything.
Right.
So, like, he's more aware of why I'm not with his mom, with his mom, and he's very intelligent, you know what I mean? So the older he gets, the better for me because he gets to see the truth
thing, you know? Right, so, That's what's so what year is this for you? What year is this for you?
Year nine.
Hey, I remember you was a young buck, man. I remember you was a young buck, man. Had questions, man. Now you in a ninth year, man. That's that, like you said, man. That's a blessing, man, and to continue to still play, man, especially at the level you playing at, man. Every time I watch the tapes, man, like I tell people all the time, bro, it's like there's no reason why, man, like you shouldn't be playing at the highest level, man. Like even when we play together in Greece, man, I'm playing with you, but I'm watching. I'm like, man, and you ain't nothing but like good 5'6", 7", bro. You ain't that tall, but your heart though, man. Like when you playing against them, like you go in and paint with the big boys, and you don't back down. So I used to tell people that all the time, man. Like, it's no reason why, man. Because you can play with the best of them. Nobody can stop you. You can score with the best of them, man. Everywhere you go, you prove that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's great, man. Just to watch, man. Like I said, I see you from the start into where you're at now. Even not just as a player, man, but just as a man and you know, as a dad and just seeing that whole process, man, and your insight on things now, you know, so it's every day, man. This is, I tell people all the time, it's a learning lessons, man. We learn things every year, whether we're playing basketball, whether we're just dealing with life or whether we're dealing with our family. It's a thing to just learn and learn from it and to get better and better and keep getting, you know, just keep growing, man. And then, like you're saying, now people come, young cats are coming to you, asking you advice. Now you've been through it all. Now you can, you've been through so many different experiences. Now you can go back and share your experiences with them and they look up to you and they see how things are. So you like that leader now. You like that role model, you know what I mean?
You know what, to piggyback on what you're saying, I mean, I think that's the reason why I've been through all this different, these different trials and tribulations and persecution and stuff. I think it's because it's for a story. Mm-hmm. I think it's for the other ones who are going in it and it's not documented. Mm-hmm. You know, always tell people God's true treasures are hidden.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's hidden from the light. It's hidden from the world. You know, it's mm-hmm. But when you meet these people, you know, they're gems from God. And I pride myself on being one of those people. Right. You know what I'm saying? So like, and then again, like you said, there's no price on happiness. So like, I'm appreciated out here. So out here, I told you I had a meeting with the president of the NBA Africa and he straight told me like, we here to watch you play. Like, mm-hmm. don't, you know, we make sure you do everything right. Cause we here to watch you play, you yeah. know? So like, it feels good to be appreciated and know that the work that I put in over the years is not forgotten, bro. That's right. The thing. I never want to be forgotten. And in Europe, you're dime a dozen. And not right. only that, but you have the chains on you. They chain you up, man. You be trying to play your game. They want you to play how they imagine you to play. But it's mm-hmm. like, yo, like, I could play in the system, but I still got to have individuality. You right. know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and they want you to play like, you know. I ain't going right. to try to say nothing. Right. Mess up right. my, I ain't going to mess up nothing. I'm like, oh. But you know what I'm saying? Let's just say you yeah. have them chains on you.
Right.
And out here,
right.
man, they let you rock.
Right.
You know, so I'm happy, bro. You know,
and that's the main thing, man. That happiness, man. Happiness is key, man. I tell people all the time, man. Life, period. Even just if we're not talking about basketball, we just talking about whether it's your job, your day to day, man. Like life is short, especially nowadays, man. With everything that's going on and all the craziness, man. It's more so life is short. You got to appreciate every moment. So the times right. you spend in a place that you're not happy, what's the point? Like for money? Like for right. money? I mean, I understand you got family and everything, but like. For me nowadays, how I look at life, man, how I deal with things, man, money, if I'm not happy, I can't do it. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I'm going to follow my dreams. I'm going to follow my goals. I'm going to be passionate. I'm going to, like in your situation, I'm going to play where I feel happy at and where I still going to make money. You know, yeah, I probably can make money, more money somewhere else, but am I going to be happy though? You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's that thing, man. Not money can't buy happiness. It could buy you many
no.
things and it could take care of things, but it's not going to buy you happiness, you know?
I mean, that's why you got rich people to this day that are suicidal. You know, you got mm-hmm. people who got the whole world and they're not happy with their life, you right. know, but I believe it has to do with, I don't want to get into all this, but I think it has to do with media. You know, they paint a picture mm-hmm. of things. So people chase something, but once you get it, you find out it's not real.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People chase this paper that they call money until they find out once they have it, you come with more problems and your peace is gone. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, I tell the young fellas that all the time. Like, hey, you make sure you chase peace and happiness yeah. before you chase right. the money. Because once you have peace and happiness, that money going to come. And not
right.
only is it going to come, but you're going to enjoy it. Like,
right.
okay, I got a little change now, and I'm happy. Like, let's yeah. enjoy ourselves.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So how many more years you think you got left in you, man? You ain't never, how old are you? How old are you, bro? You got to be.
I'm 29.
Oh, yeah, man.
I've been
yeah.
pro since I was 20.
Okay.
You know?
So how many more years you think you got left in you, man? How much?
I got 10 in me. I got 10, especially playing out here. See, I'm not in Europe. I'm not putting miles mm-hmm. on my body. We had one practice that joined 2 hours, and we just played 5-on-5.
How many Americans?
And then I tell the young fellas, I say, if you can shoot the ball, you can play anywhere at any time. Like when I'm 50 years old, I got a 45-year-old on my team, and he starts.
That's crazy.
You know
man.
What I'm saying? And he could shoot that ball. And that's why he's starting. Because he,
right.
we put him in the corner. I penetrate and kick to him. And it's money time. You know?
And they're the shooters, man. So you're a big man. You're a shooter, man. You can have longevity. Okay, my body don't operate like that, man. I've been doing a little bit of 3-on-3, man. Look, my body can't operate like I used to. Don't get me wrong. And you put me in the corner, though. You put me in the corner. I'm going to knock it down. But
that's what I'm saying.
Running the court, and I'm a man. I'll be the trailer man. I'll meet you. I'm going top the key to top the key. I ain't going no further, man. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah. And that's what he's doing, and that's what I I see myself, and plus I feel good, man. I'm in my prime right now. Like,
right.
I feel good. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I mean, that's the thing. Take care of your body, man. You know, take care of your body, eating right, you know, training, keeping up with your body. Man, you definitely could play a long time, man. Think exactly. Exactly. So as long as you take care of your body, think about Kobe played 20 years, man, at the highest level and postseasons. I mean, he was 40. I mean, so it's about taking care of your body. You can do it. You can have longevity. You know,
yeah.
So it just all depends on what you're doing it for. And you know, if you're just doing it for the love of the game, if you're chasing money, then you know, it's a different thing. But
I'll tell you what, if I was in Europe on my ninth year, I'll be getting ready to retire in 4 years from now.
I can see that.
My whole body be done. All this practice, all this training, instead of resting and training smart.
Right.
It ain't about how much practices you have. It's about what you put in that one practice.
Right.
And for some reason, Europeans do not understand that.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely different. It's definitely different in different countries. You know, it's been in countries where like you said, I played in the Middle East, where it's, you practice one time a day and it's real lax, super lax. I'm talking to a point. I mean, you gotta work on your game, or you know what I mean. It's just chilling, you know. So it's and you know, over in Europe is different. You're going to practice two times at least a day, and it's going to be intense. You know, it's going to be intense depending on who your coach is. So, yeah, man. But you aware of that, man? You know, you ninth year right now. You've been through a lot, you know. You know, you got your experience. You know what you want. That's the main thing, man. You know, you definitely want that piece and need that piece. You know what you're playing for now. You got a little man. You know, he's watching your every step. So it's just like you said, man, it just changes the dynamics of things and the thought process. But man, look, man, I'm not gonna hold you too much longer, man. I appreciate you, you know, joining my podcast. I know you just got the Zoom, but you got it okay though. Look, you're good to go.
I ain't technology savvy, man. I can't do it, bro. It's tough, man. I just give it to the female, like, hey, dude, hey, download that for me real quick.
You know? Man, but we made it work, man. So I just want to say, man, I'm super proud of you, bro. Like I said, man, not just, you know, on the basketball court stuff that you're doing, man, but just how, you know, being a dad, man, and just how your outlook on life is, you know, keeping that man upstairs of, you know what I mean, first, you know, that's a major key. Man, but
he's my strength.
As your big bro, you know, obviously, you know, I'm always here for you, man. You know, every time you hit me up for advice, I'm always here, bro. So, man, you know, that's never gonna stop, man. You know, like I said, I definitely appreciate you joining the Go Terps with Travis Garrison on the Field Assistant Networks. I appreciate you, bro. Keep doing your thing, man. I'm going to keep watching. I'm going to keep supporting the fans. I'm pretty sure is glad to hear from you, man. All the Terp fans, man. All your fans, man. They're going to be happy to hear from you, man, and seeing where you're at and what you're doing now. So keep doing that, man. You got a lot of people following you and looking up to you, bro. Just continue to understand that.
All right,
bro. Appreciate you, man. Good luck to you out there, too, bro.
Peace and love, man. I love you, dog.
I love you, too, bro.